Welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast,
where we connect creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Greger
and Sia Yasotornrat.
All right, before we jump into this episode, we want to make sure September 30th is cleared on your calendar if you are in the Dallas area. So we are hosting our very first Business Podcast Forum, and this is an event focused on helping you not just create a podcast, but actually build a podcast, build a following, and make sure your podcast generates you some income. So Sia, where is it going to be?
It's going to be at City Central North Dallas.
Yes, of course. And you can find out more information, get your tickets, use the code SYYA, S-Y-Y-A, for 20% off over at innovationmediaenterprises.com/event. All right, so let's talk about Dr. Dawn, because I loved this conversation so much.
You know, Aaron, I love all of our guests that we have had for our Women in Tech Leadership series. I think it's an important discussion. I think it's amazing to meet so many women who have had different paths and just their own perspectives, right? And their own challenges. And they're so humble. Everyone has been so just gracious with offering information and showing some vulnerability, but you could see that edge. You could see that edge and fire within everyone. And I love that.
Yeah. And I'll say this, like, I don't want to talk about regret. I don't want to talk about, you know, things I wish I would have done. However, if I would have been equipped with the things that we're learning through these podcasts, or these women in tech events, had I learned these in my 20s, I can't imagine the difference my path would have taken. I wish I could have known to be more assertive, just certain things. And so I love that we have this platform to be able to offer this to others, just to learn, not just women learn how to navigate, but also for men to kind of learn the differences in how women and men think. And instead of, you know, waiting for that woman to come into your office and get noticed, maybe you should take more initiative and find them and pull them up, because there is a difference in how we think and how we advocate for ourselves. So if there's one thing I just want to use this platform for, is to be able to educate. And, you know, like I said, my trajectory of life would have been totally different. I'm completely fine with where things are, but I just look back like, dang, I wish I would have known this stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, I want to reinforce this over and over again, because I did a video the other day and someone actually made a comment to me. They're like, wow, you sound kind of angry. And I'm not angry. Just the idea of leadership. We're really highlighting leaders. And because women aren't necessarily acknowledged as much, I just thought it'd be a great idea. I think it does help everyone to be more, empathetic or sympathetic, whatever you mm-hmm. want to fall on, but just understanding each other a little bit better and increasing that community and that bond as colleagues and professionals.
Yeah, because, and again, we're not angry. We love men. And I think a lot of men can get something out of this too, about being clear about your path, being confident about it, because I'm going to bet there's some out there who have held their own selves back. We see them in the podcasting studio. Well, I don't know if I should have a podcast because, whatever. So this is a great conversation for everyone. We're going to let you guys listen so you're not just listening to Sia and I talk about it. So without further ado, here is our latest episode of our Women in Tech series with Dr. Dawn Owens of UTD. All right, welcome to another live recording of Innovation Calling for our Women in Tech Leadership series. We are live tonight, so welcome all. Thank you so much for coming. Woo! To the guide, everybody. All right. Welcome, LinkedIn. We're doing this for the first time, doing it live. Thank you all for watching. This is, like I mentioned, the Innovation Calling podcast, and we do every month a Women in Tech event. And this one's a really special one because it's September, it's back to school, and we have Dr. Dawn Owens here of UTD. So Dawn, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And everybody give her a round of applause, please.
Woo! Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And so C and I have been doing this since February. We have a lot of women, and I mean, we've had Ericsson, Facebook, HPE, Forescout, and we've had really great conversations about women and who have like, I used this term before and I hate it, but it's like risen the ranks, right, in corporate America. And when C and I were talking about new topics, we wanted to talk about bringing up women. So we've got women that we can look up to now and how they've done it, but how do we get more women in STEM? How do we get more women leaders in tech? And so thank you so much for joining us today to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about a little bit about your story, because you haven't always been at UTD.
Right.
You had your own,
don't hit my own microphone, but you had your own tech journey. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey in rising the ranks?
Sure. So I started out as, I started in industry. I have about 13 years of industry experience, and my first job out of college was a programmer. And what's interesting is that when I started college, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to do something in business, and I knew that I was an introvert. I didn't like talking to people. So I liked working with numbers, and I didn't want to talk to people. So I thought, maybe I'll do accounting, okay? And so I tried accounting, found out that I was just not fulfilled in accounting, and I decided to go see my academic advisor, right? That's what they're there for, to help guide you. And I had a conversation with my academic advisor. And what's interesting, just looking back now, you know, retrospective, it was a male academic advisor. And I told him what I was interested in. And he said, you know what? You would probably really like MIS, Management Information Systems, which is a technical school, a technical degree in the School of Management. And I said, you know, what you're telling me, it sounds really interesting. And so I decided to change my major, give it a try, and I've never looked back. And when I graduated, my first job out of college was a programmer. And again, retrospective, looking back, you know, as in my position, one of the things I do is coach students on what to do and what not to do. I did everything you were not supposed to do. I did not negotiate my salary. I did not negotiate benefits. I accepted the first job that was offered to me. And with the intention that this is a company that I probably will not stay with forever, you know, because it was not a company I was passionate about. Well, I stayed with the company for 13 years, and I had a really, really good experience. It was something that I probably would not change because at the time it was a smaller company, and I got to do a lot of different things. And that's really what helped me build my experience, is being able to do a lot of different things in the tech space and having the ability to step outside what the box was for what my role was. And so I evolved from programmer to systems analyst to project manager, and then eventually into leadership, into a more of a executive management type of role where I was managing people. And, you know, I just wasn't fulfilled. I just was not fulfilled in what I was doing. And I started doing some adjunct teaching. I got my graduate degree right away after college and did some teaching after I got my graduate degree. Just wanted to try it out. And again, it was stepping outside of my comfort zone. I'm an introvert. Never in a million years did I think that I could stand up in front of a classroom and talk to students. And so I tried it, and I did it for, what, I think 4 semesters, and I'm like, I am sold. If I could do this every single day, if I could go to work and this is my full-time job, I would like going to work. And so I decided right then and there I was going to develop a plan to figure out how I could make that happen. And I just started a family. And so I was one of those non-traditional students, working full-time, had a family, trying to get my PhD part-time. Most PhD students are full-time, so I was very non-traditional. I said, okay, this is what I want to do. And then fortunately, while I was getting my PhD, I got offered a full-time teaching position where I was at, not at the same college, but a different college. And so I was able to transition to that, get my PhD, and then do teaching while I was finishing my PhD. Fast forward a little bit, I was very content. I had worked with this university for where I was at for about 5 years, very comfortable. You know, I'd proven myself. I was very comfortable in what I was doing. I had gotten my PhD, and my dissertation advisor said, I really want you to just apply it just to see what's out there. I said, no, I'm happy. I'm never, ever leaving. This is Omaha, Nebraska, by the way. I'm never leaving Nebraska. I was born and raised here. I will never, ever leave, period. So he would continue every time we'd meet to prod me to say, just see what's out there. You don't have to accept anything. Just appease me. Just apply, see what's out there. And after, I think probably after about 6 months, 8 months of him prodding me, I finally said, okay, I will apply. And I was very selective and not in the right way, right? I said, if I'm going to leave Nebraska, it's going to be for a warmer climate. And that was my only criteria.
Amen.
And so I applied to all the colleges in the southern part of the United States, and I got several interviews, and UT Dallas was one of those interviews, and it was one of those things where I walked out of that interview, and I got on the plane, and I said, I'm moving. If they offer me a job, I am moving, and I'm packing my entire family, you know, my entire life, you know, it's going to be different. And so I think the lesson from that, and I use this lesson when I'm in the classroom as well, is that had I not stepped out of my comfort zone, had I not said, hey, you know what, let's just see what's out there, had I not stepped out of my comfort zone, I would not be here today. And so I always thank my dissertation advisor. We still have a good relationship, but I'm like, you know, thank you for encouraging me to do that and having the confidence to do that and believing in me that I could actually be somebody that I didn't think I could be. One of the things that I really like about my job today is that I'm a teacher. That's, you know, a faculty. That's my full-time job. But also, coming from industry, one of the things that I really miss is just, you know, the administrative side of it. And so in my current job, I'm also the program director for undergraduate ITS program. And so I do a lot of administrative work and I work directly with students. And so, you know, being able to blend those things together was a really good fit. And that's what sold me on the job at UT Dallas. So that's kind of my story of how I got here.
Mm-hmm. I am so mind blown right now. Yeah. So you have a long career in both corporations, working in the corporate world, if you will, and then you switched over, and now you're leading that next generation. How has that changed, or have you seen any changes between the students of when you first started to today?
I will tell you that college these days is very different, and it's very different from when I went to school, right? When I went to school, we had no resources. You know, you went to school, and there was hardly any resources, but today, I mean, there's so many resources available to students today. And I tell students, you know, if you're having a hard time, it's because you're not utilizing your resources. And, you know, the other thing I see is that, especially parents these days are more educated and they are getting their kids talking about college as freshmen. I mean, I meet with students who are freshmen in high school and, you know, they're like, what can I do now to prepare for my college days? And I tell them, you know what? Enjoy your time as a high school student because you have 4 years where you should be enjoying that. And, you know, when you get to college, there's so many resources available to you and we give you everything that you need. So enjoy your time as a high school student. But, you know, and I have a son in high school myself that I'm thinking when I meet with these other students, I'm, you know, coming in from high school, I'm like, maybe I should be having, you know, I'm behind the curve. Yeah, but, anyways, but I feel like it's very different these days. There's a lot of resources. We really try to set up students for success. We don't want them to fail, so we really set them up for success.
So I know one of the things we talked about, like we always have a pre-call, and it was really about understanding as we get more girls and women into IT, there's that barrier, and I've talked with several people tonight. IT equals programming, right? And I know you and I have a lot of the same paths. I was good at, like, I didn't really like to talk to people either, unless I was drunk, which worked well in college. But but it was one of those things where I was good at math, mm-hmm. and I went MIS too. But I could program, but sitting in a office trying to figure out where the missing period was mm-hmm. torture for me. And right. So luckily I got into other paths after I graduated. But how do we get over that barrier and what's being done to help understand IT means so many more things than just programming? Mm-hmm. And in IT, they need more people that aren't programmers.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's one of the things that I really like about this degree program is that when we get students in the degree program, we prepare them for a job in IT. We don't teach them, you know, very few of our students actually graduate and become programmers. I would say a lot of them are become more of a business analyst type role where they're the bridge between the technical side and the business side. And I think it's really about education. And we have several different outreach programs that we've started, that I've started since being at UT Dallas that really, so one of the things that my boss challenged me with when I got there is you need to grow enrollment. You need to get more students into this program. And one of the challenges we had is when I started, we had maybe 300 students. Today, we have 850.
Wow.
And, you know, part of the challenge was that people don't know that this is an option. They think they want to be technical. They immediately think computer science. They think engineering. But really, it's you know, educating people what this is all about. And so I started an initiative where we reach out to high schools and middle schools, actually going even lower than just high school, but middle schools, letting people know that this, what this degree program is all about. And we bring them to campus, and we have them there for a week, or maybe it's a couple-day event. And so we have different outreach events that we do throughout the semester. And it's really interesting because we do survey feedback. And when students come to campus and they see the campus, they interact with students who are part of the program, they're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know this was available to me. And they're like, I want to do this. Because there's lots of different options for them.
Is that the high-tech high heels?
This is actually part of our outreach. High-tech high heels are a little bit different.
Okay, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what that. I have notes here written on.
Yeah,
Oh, that's really cool. So there's something on top of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I think it's about educating people, you know, educating students too, and that this is an option. And what's really interesting too is that a lot of students who come into our program don't start as, you know, when they come to UT Dallas, they're not freshman IT students, they're freshman computer science students, hear about this program, and then they change the major.
That's awesome. Now, we also talked about getting people in, which is helpful, but you're still seeing a drop of women not completing, switching majors, whatever. We're getting, okay, yay, we're getting people in, enrollments up. Now, what's the next step in encouraging to stay the course?
So this is really interesting. So if you look at data over the last, you know, several years, is that, you know, we fixed the front end. We finally fixed the front end. We're getting more and more students who are in, females who are in engineering programs, computer science, IT programs. And so our numbers are going up. But what the challenge is we're losing them on the back end. So we fixed the front end, but now we have problems on the back end. And that's where we're losing them. If you look at statistics in terms of, you know, women in, you know, engineering or IT or STEM roles, some of them, one out of three, you know, drop out before they even get there, before they even get to a job or career. A lot of them drop out after they have their career. And why? Well, there's lots of different hypotheses, but we don't really really know exactly why. You know, there's, you know, I can speak to why we think that is.
Well, why do you think?
Well, a lot of it is engineering, STEM, is there's a masculine connotation, right? And if you look at the numbers, when you go into those type of roles, very few females. Females also lack confidence. They lack confidence in their abilities. And they need a lot more affirmation. And it's really interesting because I overheard a student in my class talking today. And she was saying that she was telling another student about her internship experience. And she says, it's really hard being a female in a technical, you know, space. And so I was just listening to this conversation. She says, I had to be very bold. I had to be very bold as a female IT student. You know, I was one of the only few females on my internship team. And I had to, they were trying to give me things that I didn't want to do. You know, females are given a lot of sometimes the administrative tasks on a team, not the engineering type of tasks, because we're good at it. We're very good at those types of things. And she said, I had to be bold and I had to tell them, no, this is not what I want to do. I want to do what you guys are doing and somebody else can do what I was doing. And so I was like, good for you. I was so proud of her for being able to say that and recognize that, you know, but again, for her to come back and say, it's challenging for her. It also made me sad at the same time, right? We're still faced as women with challenges that a lot of times we think that they're gone, but the stigma is still there.
Okay, your story kind of resonates with me. I have a niece who, when she first graduated, she got a job and they put her into this like, and she's a software engineer, and they put her into this like PM type role where because she has social skills, though she doesn't want to admit to it, she had the ability to communicate between teams very well. And because of her technical background, she was able to articulate it in a way that everyone could be working cohesively. I took the spin as that's a compliment. That's a hard skill to have social and technical. If that is something you like, run with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it sounds like with that story, what if, you know, if my niece wanted to be just a programmer, a coder, is that a bad thing, good thing? I don't know what kind of advice. What would you give to someone that can fulfill a hard role, but that's not what they want to do?
That's a really good point. And, you know, just going back to my own experience, that's how I got put into my project manager role, my manager role. Not because, you know, it was something that I was comfortable with, but because it was what I was good at, right? I was good at being able to bring people together, being able to communicate. And, you know, Gallup has done a lot of studies about managers and manager styles, and they find that female managers in STEM are better managers. And the reason being is that they have empathy. You know, females have empathy. And I'll just give you an example from my own experience. You know, there's been times where I've had to let people go. You know, times are tough. We had to lay some people off. And I remember a couple, those times when I did have to let people go. And I had one person say to me, and he was a male employee. He said, the way that you did this, he said, you know, I'm walking out of here not feeling like it's the end of the world. You know, the way that you did this, I just want to let you know that thank you for treating me like an individual. And so I think that's where women have an advantage. You know, they have that empathy. They're able to empathize with people. Not saying that men can't, you know, because there's some really good men empathizers, but that's something that we bring to the table that's often overlooked, or sometimes it's looked at as a disadvantage sometimes.
What do you mean by that?
Sometimes we're empathetic, we're seen as weak, or yeah. We're seen as not powerful. And I think that women bring something very, you know, they possess skills that we should really, that organizations should really, you know, utilize, because not everybody has those types of skills.
Okay, so I'm going to flip it again then. So what if you have a lot of people, whatever, students, whatever genre they are, is what I affectionately call it, but they're introverted, as you say you are yourself, mm-hmm. but they want to go into a leadership role. Maybe in their field they don't need to be most outgoing, but they do want to take on leadership positions, lead positions. How would you recommend someone that doesn't have that personality of being, you know, the scene, you know, the party person?
Absolutely. It's a great question. This is where I feel that you have to have confidence in your abilities. You really have to have that confidence. You have to believe in who you are and what you bring to the table. And it's something I tell my students all the time. I think the first day of class is, you know, have confidence. Know who you want to be. And my own personal model, and I wish I would have learned this a long time ago, is that don't let somebody else's opinion of you direct you to where you want to go, because I see that all the time. And I think as females too, we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to other people. And, you know, I have, you know, some friends, stay-at-home moms, and I see their life on social media, and I see my life, and I think, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible mom, because I didn't, you know, bake cookies and have a huge Halloween party for my kids because I was stuck at work. But that doesn't make me a bad mom, you know, and you know, my kids are very proud of what I do. And to hear them talk about what I do, I can stand up to any stay-at-home mom any day. So, you know, I think it's about having confidence in who you are and who you want to be, and not letting that anybody influence that. I think that's really important. And it's something that women really struggle with. I mean, I think the other thing too, you know, just kind of stepping out of the box here, is that women are more critical of women than anybody else.
Oh, we are our own worst enemy.
Wait, yes. I'm going to break the rule. I'm going to break the fourth wall here. Raise your hand if you've ever been with someone where you're like, I thought you were my friend supporting me. Right? Just out of curiosity for the men in the room, did you ever feel like you're looking at your male compadres be like, I thought you had my back? Do you guys get that feeling as well?
Yeah.
oh, no. But I mean, but it is, I think, I don't know if it's human behavior where if there's some semblance of competition that it drives a certain type of behavior. And I think women, this is my own theory, I think women are much more competitive than men and a little bit more cutthroat, but I think we do it better.
Yeah. But what were you going to say about the, what were you going to say about the women being their own worst enemy?
I just think that it's, you know, women are more critical of other women. And I think it's a challenge that we face. And if you look at why women are dropping out of, mm-hmm. you know, the tech field, it's because they don't have a good support system. And, you know, they're faced with, you know, this masculine culture, but they don't have other females that they can count on or they can trust or that can support them. And that is really one of the big challenges, is why women drop out, because they don't have that female support system.
How do we change that? Is that a woman versus women thing? Like, we've kind of created our own, or, and I don't want to be like, who created this issue, but is it that we feel that we have to compete because we know the higher ranks you get, the less women there are, so we have to kind of squash the other women? And what's happened, that environment? Or are we just, they call us the B word for a reason? I mean, I don't, you know.
Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways you can look at it. I think part of being a woman is that we play different roles. Yeah. We have so many different roles we play in our life. You know, whether you're a mother, you're a wife, you're a sister, you're a friend, you're, you know, you want to be the best you can be in your field. We play so many different roles. And instead of, you know, looking at our successes, right? We're successful in all those different areas. We compare ourselves. Look at where I failed. Yeah. Look at where I did not measure up to somebody else who, that is their full-time job, right? So I think that it's about not necessarily changing women's perspective, but it's changing our own perspective. And, you know, social media these days sometimes can be our worst enemy, because you see everybody's, you know, you see the positive parts of people's life. You don't see what they're really going through to get there. And so I think it's really important that women don't compare themselves to anybody else, because, you know, your story is going to be different than anybody else's. And so I really think that it goes back to, and it's really hard for women because we need a lot of affirmation and we don't get that from a lot of places. And so it goes back to being your own advocate and having, you know, going, I'll say this a lot of times, is having confidence in your abilities and believing in who you are. I think that's really important.
So if I can take a step back then, social media and the advent of social media between the students back then and the students now, I keep doing it. There's a reason here. Do you think, you would think social media would help provide affirmation, support, to help change that perception of women being cutthroat with one another or our own self-sabotage? Do you think that's changed, or has it made it worse?
I think it's gotten worse. And it's really interesting. You know, I'm one of those Facebook stalkers. I'm part of, you know, different groups on Facebook. I don't ever post anything, but I read all the all the drama that goes on in some of these female groups. And I see females attacking other females without knowing anything about the situation. And it just bothers me so much, because how can you judge somebody if you've not walked in their shoes, right? And so instead of attacking them, you should be supporting them for the decisions that they've made and helping them. Maybe you disagree with their decision, but support them and help them get out of it, right? So I think that social media really is really more of an enemy than it is a friend.
Okay, so I'll do one more. I know Aaron's staring at me here.
No.
But I'm wondering then, okay, so where we could, it's somewhat devolving, okay, with social media, because now everyone's got an equal voice. Where do maybe mentors or maybe other genders come into play to help evolve or change it? Or is it just a female issue, women issue, whatever? I don't know what pronoun to use anymore, but whatever issue that is.
I mean, I would say get off social media. That's my advice. I mean, because I don't think it's really, I mean, I don't know if it's a gender issue, but, you know, again, it's all about women supporting other women and stepping out and being that woman that supports somebody else. You know, stepping out and saying, okay, you know what, they're attacking her, so I'm going to step up and I'm going to support her. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where you can make a change.
Mm-hmm. I like that, because it's almost like, how do we become the solution? Like, we've all worked with women who, and I mean, it's competitive. Like, I'm going to use a dog analogy, but you watch, I will never have two females ever again, because they compete. My boys are dopey boys, and I know they're dogs, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of alignment between humans, and it's, but we do have, like, I love my dopey boy. You get them fixed, they're super dopey, but, excuse me, but there's that, it's in this, everybody says it's men, you know, alpha male, but there is this innate thing in women that, you see moms do it. You see anybody, IT, what, I need to put you down because I'm doing it better than you are. And it's like, we have this is my identity. I don't believe in myself, so this is the only thing that I'm going to hang on to. I'm going to make sure everybody's put down around me.
Exactly.
So I guess, I know this is like an on-the-spot question, but just, is it supporting one another? What else can we do? Because I see the problem, and I wish I could tell you I'm perfect, but sometimes I get competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, they fed their kids gluten? Oh, wow. They're good luck with Johnny tomorrow when he's hyper. Just saying.
Right.
But it's like, how do we stop that? You know what I mean?
Because I know.
I know it's easier said than done, but any ideas?
Well, I think what's really important is having a good support system. And when I say that, you know, a support system, it doesn't have to be all females. You know, sometimes support comes from males. And the nice thing about them is they don't get into all this drama, right?
Yes.
So they can kind of bring you back down to reality sometimes. So build a support system that is made up of both females and males that can really balance out some of that happens. You know,
I like that idea.
A lot of times I'll get caught up in something and I'll go to my male counterpart and I'll say, can you believe this? And they just look at me like, don't you have anything better to do? And so I think, you know, just having a good support system, people who believe in you. You know, I love my mother to death. She's my strongest supporter, but she's also my worst critic. You know, she's very critical of me. But, you know, so you have to really balance it out.
Oh, you messed me up with mom issues. I'm done. Okay, so Ooh, okay. If we were to go back to that conversation of women personalities in general, and again, going back to introverts and extroverts, because I do think there is an assumption that women are more extroverted by nature. And we know in STEM, most, at least my observation that I see, are not the most outgoing individuals. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to have a successful career in tech. And there's other routes, like you were talking about programming. What about the sales route, sales engineers, for example? You could be technical, mm-hmm. but still customer-facing. What are your thoughts around those? I won't call them alternative, but there's no degree to get a sales engineer or systems engineer.
Actually are working on some right now. So there's a potential.
Oh, all right. Hey, shout out to Four Scout VP. So let's talk about that. It's now 2019, and now we're developing a curriculum around systems engineering, sales engineering. Mm-hmm. Help me understand what that means to you guys.
So again, it's about understanding the technical side, but then also having the ability to get up and sell, right? And that's not something that's intuitive to everybody, you know, being able to sell. And it goes back to, you know, too, being able to sell yourself. You know, having that skill to be able to step up and be able to sell something is something that is just not inherent to a lot of people. People have to have the passion for that. But being able to develop a curriculum around that, being able to teach them, you know, what is sales all about? What are some of the things that you can do? Innovation is part of that. So we're giving people the skills they need to be successful there. I don't know if that answered your question. But.
No, that's awesome. No, like I said, is like I think a lot of the systems engineers, my background's in tech, mm-hmm. and I was a salesperson, so I always had a sales engineer or systems engineer with me to basically correct everything I would say in a meeting. 99% of the time. But it wasn't at the time a natural path. There wasn't, like I said, a degree, so no one knows to go in. Most people fall into a systems engineer mm-hmm. role Absolutely. And not realize that, hey, just because you have a computer science degree doesn't mean you're always in the dungeon or in the back corners mm-hmm. of a building.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is great to finally hear. So.
No. So going back to the woman thing. So I'm going to ask this question because we had this conversation. I know we didn't discuss this, but Leslie C and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. So as we're encouraging women to rise, how much do we need to accommodate for what a woman needs to rise versus it's a man's world, toughen up, and this is what you need to do to be in the ranks? And let me preface this with a story. So I was at I was in this meeting a couple weeks ago for an accelerator, 8-week course about building your business. 1 week was about self-care. And I'm like, this is BS. Because there is no man in a business course that you're going to talk about self-care. This is ridiculous. And I walked out. And then I thought more about it. I'm like, but wait a minute. I'm the same person that asks about balance. And as a woman leader, how do you balance where no men get asked that question? So do we have to say, okay, we are women. This is, you just got to toughen up and be like a man. You got to say what you need and ask for what you want. And you're not going to get the affirmations and you're just going to have to deal with that and be confident versus nurture who we are as women and understand that we're going to have different needs to rise the ranks than men. That's a loaded question. I know. It was an interesting conversation because I'm like, this is BS. Men would never talk about that. But then maybe we are different, you know?
Well, first of all, I don't think there's any such thing as balance, especially with technology today. There is no way that you can balance. You know, some weeks you're going to be more ingrained in work. Some weeks you're going to be, you know what, I'm running kids around, and so there's no, my work is neglected. I don't think there's any such thing as balance. In terms of, you know, toughen up, I think that, unfortunately, the reality is, if you want to be successful, I've heard so many bad things said about me as a female leader that I had to just either toughen. There's be days I'd go home and I'd cry, right? Yeah. I wouldn't show it at work, but I had to toughen up. I had to toughen up, and I think that's the reality. I'm not saying that it's the way it should be, but it is the reality, unfortunately. In terms of, what was your other question?
Well, just like understanding like women in the self-care perspective. And you know, it's just like, you know what? When it comes to IT, like if it, just screw the self-care. Like, worry about the self-care on the weekends. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
why is that even a topic? Why is it on an 8-week course?
Well, let me tell you why. Because females can do it all, right? We are able to do it all. And that is why we are so successful. I mean, if you look at all the things that women can do, we can balance. I mean, we can't, you know, balance, I shouldn't say balance, but we can juggle a lot of different things simultaneously, where if you give that same job to a man, and again, I'm not bashing men at all, because I, you know, there are some men out there who can do it all, right? But I'm just saying that we have a unique skill that I don't think every man possesses. We can do a lot of different things. We're very good at multitasking. We're very good at being able to, if you tell me that, okay, you have to be in a meeting till this time and you have to do this and you have to get your kids here and you have to feed them dinner and you, not a problem. I can figure it all out. You give that same problem to a man, right? They'll be like, okay, well, these are the three things I can do and these are the five things I can't do. A woman, a woman should be able to say, you know what, you've given me these 10 things. These are the five things I can do, and these are the five things I will do, instead of trying to do it all. We try to do it all, and we try to be perfect at it all.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we struggle. As a woman, we have to be able to say no. And I think, you know, me, myself, I don't say no as much as I should, because I want that opportunity. I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, you should have done that. Why did you say no? Well, I said no because I had to take my kids to school.
Yeah, and right? I don't want other people raising my kids, and I don't,
Right. So, you know, I think it's about, you know, we ourselves have to be able to push back and say, this is where I want to be. Trying to be good at 10 things, you're not going to be good at 10 things. Trying to be good at three things, then you can excel. But when you try to, you know, self-care comes into it. When you try to do all of these things simultaneously, you're just going to burn yourself out.
Kind of like that. Not work-life balance, but work-life juggle. That's a new one for us.
Yeah.
I mean, because you'll never be perfectly balanced, I mean, in general. If you are like a mother and a professional like you are, yeah. I don't know that because I don't have kids. I'm just saying, I enjoy my one ball that I'm bouncing up and down. No, it's admirable that you're saying that. And it's, how much is, I'm not, well, I don't want to, because I don't want to say that your current work environment, but in your career, have you ever worked with peers that challenged you in that context of, like, if you had to leave to pick up your children, did you ever get challenged by your peers saying, oh, Dr. Owens is leaving? Like, what has been your experience on that?
I'd say I've been very fortunate at UT Dallas that, you know, I have not been perceived that way. But, you know, I'll give you an example from when I was, you know, in industry. And I was a relatively junior person, but I was a lead. I was a project manager. Actually, I was a manager at that time. And my boss comes to me and says, hey, me and the guys are going golfing. Okay, they didn't ask me to go golfing with them. He's like, you hold down the fort. I said, no, you guys are going golfing. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing. And he looked at me and said, no, you're not. You're going to stay here and you're going to hold down the fort. And I cannot tell you, that was a pivotal moment for me, something that I will never forget. The way that I was treated then, you know, they didn't include me. I was, you know, immediately excluded. And when I said, okay, you guys are going to go do your own thing, I'm going to do my own thing, it was not accepted. And that was a pivotal moment for me. And I said, you know, I said, I don't want to work for this person anymore. But lo and behold, there's people like that everywhere. So it was really about figuring out who I wanted to be. And did I want to be that person that said, well, you guys are doing that, I want to do that? No, it was about me being my own person. And I think, again, it goes back to, you have to figure out who you want to be and stick to that. Did I want to be just like them? No. Did I want to be on the golf course? No. You know, was I just, you know, just throwing something at them because I wanted to be included? Yes, my feelings were hurt. But so then what I made it my mission to stay there, and I was going to be productive, and I was going to show them that I was better than anybody else, right? So that they could count on me. So I took it as a, you know, a different opportunity.
And did their opinion change, or did they just,
well, I moved up faster, right? Huh? They relied on me to be able to get things done. So in a way, it kind of worked out. Again, they trusted me. If you look at it from a different perspective, they trusted me to hold down the fort, right? You're going to stay here, and you're going to hold down the fort. Well, I did, and I did it well. So.
And then they got threatened. They're like, oh, now I can be replaced by her now.
Right. Yes.
We need to cut back the
exactly.
golf.
Exactly. So it's all about your perspective. I think that's a good point. It's all about your perspective, how you look at it. Because, you know, given your situation, your circumstances, and we've all been in, you know, challenging circumstances, how are you going to look at that and how are you going to use it as an opportunity?
So I think it's a good segue into, okay, now we've gotten women into STEM. Now we're getting, you know, hopefully we can figure out how to keep them. Now, how do we encourage more women to step into leadership roles? Because I know confidence is going to be a big thing into that, but okay, you're doing really well. We were talking about this earlier. Unless you're extremely lucky, nobody's going to pluck you out and rise you. You have to be your own advocate. So what are the next steps for women in IT to get to the leadership roles, the C-suite, the, you know, coveted roles that as we get more women in IT, there's still not enough up top?
I think it's about networking. And I think it's about making yourself out there. And again, selling yourself, you know, waiting for things to happen, they're not going to happen. You know, this year I was fortunate enough to get a promotion, but that did not happen just by itself. I was waiting for it to happen. And I said, you know what? I'm waiting. Somebody's going to recognize my hard work. It did not happen. I had to go in and demand it. I also had to tell them, hey, this is where I want to be. And he's like, really? I didn't even think about that. I'm like, really? How could you not think about that? But I had to tell them, this is where I see myself. This is where I want to be. And so, again, it's about not, as women, we assume that, you know, I think I heard you say this earlier, our work is going to be recognized. We work so hard and somebody's going to recognize that and eventually they're going to, you know, recognize that. But it doesn't happen that way. You have to really sell yourself. And that's hard for women. It's really, really hard for women, especially around other women. Because when you do that, then you're perceived as what you call the B word, right? Yeah. Or, you know, so you have to really sell yourself. And especially in, I think, corporate America, you have to know what you want. You have to know that. And, you know, before I left industry for academia, my goal was to be the first female VP in my department. And I didn't want to be only the first female. I wanted to be the youngest, you know, VP in my department. And that was my goal. And so I did everything I could to make sure that people knew that's what I wanted. I went to lunches. I went to meetings that I, you know, just to put myself out there. So I think a lot of it, too, is a part of networking. And what I tell my students in terms of jobs, how many jobs did you get just by sitting on the sidelines? Probably zero, right? How many jobs did you get just by going out and talking to people? Probably a lot more. So I think you have to build your network. You have to cultivate your network. And even though we live in Dallas, which is huge, I can't tell you how many times I've run across people. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's such a small world. And so it's really about cultivating that. And being an introvert can be really challenging too, trying to build your network. Having the people skills to get out there and talk to people is not an easy thing for introverts.
Yeah. Do you have advice for your students? Because it's easier said than done, like, know what you want to do, right? But you get into a big corporation, there's so many different avenues, and to really know the exact path, I think it takes a special person to know off the bat, this is the exact path you're going to take. What's your advice for that person who is starting or even is currently working? Maybe they feel a little stuck in where they are and they're trying to figure out where that next path is, but to say they know exactly where they want to go, they're not quite there yet because they're trying to figure it out. And any advice for them on how to figure that out?
So I would say just explore. Don't be afraid, you know, but again, it's a balance. Say yes to things, try new things, but don't say yes to everything. And I've even heard students say that. I said yes to everything my freshman semester, and I was so burnt out that I didn't have any energy to do anything my sophomore semester. So it's being strategic about what you say yes to. So trying new things, knowing that it's okay if you try something and it doesn't really work out. You know, it's okay. You didn't fail. You learned something. You learned something about yourself. You learned something about what you like to do. But trying new things, you know, so I think that's really important, is don't be afraid to try something. You know, that's what I tell them, you know. And again, my personal motto is to never let race, gender, culture, age stop you from doing what you think you should do. And never let somebody else's opinion of you stop you from doing what you think you should be doing. I think it's really important.
We just did a podcast on Gen X specifically. Some bias there, but we're talking about Gen Z coming up in the ranks. Do you see that this generation versus the millennials, Gen X and the boomers, do you see that they see gender less, or, you know, whatever, I'm trying to, like, not be specific on gender, though that's kind of our topic, but race, whatever. Yeah. Do you see that there's more equality around the Gen Zs? Or do you think with time, we just kind of fall into our roles as society kind of chips away at your being? I'm a positive person.
I mean, I think part of it is how you're brought up. Personally, I think it's how you're brought up. I think when I go into a classroom, I don't immediately search out who are the females in here or who are the people who are underrepresented. I don't look at that, right? I just walk in and I focus on myself. Who am I going to be today? And, you know, I see that too with students is they're less concerned about, at least with the younger generation, they're less concerned about the people around them. They're more concerned about themselves. And so I think that we're kind of breaking down some of those stereotypes a little bit. You know, again, my own personal view is that stereotypes are, you know, there's all different types of stereotypes, educated, uneducated, you know, we could say nerdy, not nerdy, female, male. There's different types, but not focusing on that and focusing more on, again, at least for me, because when I walk into that room, I want them to walk out of that and say, that's the best professor I ever had. Can I do that if I'm focused on, you know, oh, there's so many females and there's so many males and, you know, the class is so, you know, geographically dispersed? No, I can only do that if I focus on me and who I want to be.
Oh, that's awesome. And find that commonality across everybody, I think, bridges that gap more than often, right?
Yeah. This may be a stupid question, but I'm just thinking of it.
Oh, I tell my students there's never a stupid question.
Well, there can be. We've had a few, but no. But is it possible to teach people, like, you know, from the race, from the woman, from the whatever? And I say this from love, from the millennials, but I've worked with a few where it's like, okay, suck it up, buttercup. You shouldn't be offended by this. That's, you have to put in 10 hours tomorrow. It's going to be okay. But then there's also things like, yeah, you probably should be offended by that because that's really rude that the guy just gave you admin work. Can you teach, like, is it possible to teach them as they step into career roles, like, yeah, that's kind of BS. Get out of that role because in this case, you're getting squashed because you're a woman versus, okay, this is just, and millennials are a little, like, more fragile, right? So.
Whoa. Am I going to be defending a millennial here? Hold up.
But they are a little bit, right? Like, how do you teach, well, like, this is what you're going to have to do versus, yeah, that's really offensive.
Okay, here's a question. Is awareness fragility? So if you are aware that you're being condescended to or someone saying things, and mind you, I am taking a very hard role here.
to argue against.
I am defending millennials, but this is so hard. But is it maybe because of an awareness of, like, I'm now aware that I'm being spoken to a certain way. When I was in my career, I didn't question. I just simply said, oh, someone's challenging me. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to prove them wrong. As opposed to, oh, and I gave them the excuse of, oh, that's their way. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to work around that. Whereas now it's more like, no. Yeah, you think that way, but let's change the way you think. Right. I feel like the millennials are the first generation to really challenge the status quo in a way that is calling out the status quo, but with change, with, I won't say constructive, because sometimes it isn't, but there's a purpose in their statement. Whereas when we were in the 90s, for those that were just born, whatever, don't even. But in the 90s, I think we just took it. I think we kind of took, we complained, Gulf War was going on, and then for our international people in America, it was a big deal for us. But we didn't want the conscription and all that stuff, but we didn't really change it. We just did about it. We complained vociferously about it.
I think the B word's okay, but anyway.
Am I allowed the B word?
Okay.
I mean, hearing us talk about it, what are you seeing? Are we wrong?
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And we would look at it in the past. We would look at it, well, that's just how that person is. Or, you know what? They put me down, so I'm going to prove them wrong, right? Today, I see a lot more pushback. I see it with students and student groups, students working together, and I get a lot more escalations, right? So-and-so in my group said this. Can you believe that they said this? And so I think they're a lot more aware. Students, you know, the younger generations are a lot more aware, and I think they're less tolerant as well, where, you know, we're of the older generation. We're more tolerant because we thought that's how it should be or that's the way it was. But now I think there's a lot more, there's definitely more awareness.
All right. Well, I know we're at time.
I know. I was like,
I could talk about this all day because it's just intriguing to me. I wish it was like a crash course. I always share this story. I think I've said it 5,000 times on this podcast, but the you know, when the Lean In book came out and she was like, oh, you apply for jobs that you're not qualified. I'm like, what? People do that? And I just wish we could, like, my goal of this is to really teach women how to dig in and be your own advocate. And it's not, like I said, a man bashing thing, but it's like, we have this innate stuff that can be really good in some ways, but it can harm us and others. Right. It's almost like we need a, okay, woman in IT 101 course. Like, this is what you're going to have to do.
You just gave me an idea.
There you go.
Yeah. If we can help you contribute to any additional courses, apparently we talk about it all day long. So.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, this will be, we'll finish this up if you want to conclude us out, and then we'll open it to Q&A if that's cool. So see ya.
Dr. Owens, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you. Really,
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we'll stop the filing.